Good morning and welcome to worship. So, I think I'm going to hand over to Elaine to take us through a few intimations.
Is that me? Welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. Visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book. Then Harvest, which was last week. Thank you to everyone who supported our Harvest Thanksgiving Festival. An amazing 48.1 kilograms of tinned and packet goods and £65 from donations for fresh food has been given to the food bank. We also had our coffee morning yesterday, and thank you to everybody who braved the weather to come and who helped organise and run the event. Our total for yesterday was £162, which was really good. There's an outing this afternoon for the walking group to Town Hill Loch with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the church car park at 2 o'clock and contact Maureen Black, well, I'll not give you her phone number because she's here, for information. The Blythswood Shoebox Appeal. The church is once again supporting the Blythswood Care Shoebox Appeal, and you can help in a number of ways. Filling a shoebox with items from the checklist, and there are also filler ideas on the website. Giving items from the list, which we will use to fill shoeboxes. Making a donation of money towards transport costs and providing empty shoeboxes. And we do have some empty and wrapped shoeboxes if anybody would like any. There's also some hats and scarves and glove sets knitted by Maureen, which are out in the vestibule if anybody wants to buy one of those. Please bring your donation to church from now until the 2nd of November. Harvest Home Meal. Our neighbouring churches at Cooris and Torryburn and Carnock and Oakley invite you to a Harvest Home Meal on Friday 17th of October from 7 till 10pm, featuring singing and dancing with Bob Adam and his band. Tickets are £15. Add your name and contact details to the sheet in the vestibule if interested. The Cycling Club C4. The next day outing is next Saturday, the 18th of October. That's not next Saturday. A fortnight. Visiting Edinburgh, East Lothian. Contact Derek on 882190 if interested in C4. Then the joint service at Limekilns Church. We'll be taking part in a joint service with other local congregations in Limekilns Church on Sunday the 26th of October at 11 o'clock. This is the final event in the celebration of the 200th anniversary of Limekiln Church building. There won't be a service in Kearney Hill or a Zoom presentation that day. The service will be available as a live stream on the Limekiln's YouTube channel. There are further intimations on the printed sheet, and this can be viewed on Facebook are downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. There's also, you've also received today a copy of the Spirit Prayer from Marion. Finally, from those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service.
Let's worship God. We're going to sing hymn number 22, which is part of Psalm 27, The Lord's My Light and Saving Health.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon our offering. Receive the monies that we give to you. Receive our time and our talent, and use all of these gifts in the work of your church and to your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Alistair is leading us in prayer this morning.
So let us now draw near to God. Sorry. It moved. Let us draw near to God in prayer. God, our Creator, we give glory to you for this vast universe in which we live. Whether in days of blue skies and warm sunshine, or wild, wet and windy weather, or when we consider the immense variety of creatures, great and small, we stand in awesome wonder and marvel at the world around us. God, our Heavenly Father, we give glory to you for every human being, each made in your image. To you we are the pinnacle of creation, and like the psalmist, we may ask, what are we that you care for us? Lord Jesus Christ, we give glory to you, who took on a human body and redeemed our fallen nature. You came to offer forgiveness to all who come in repentance, confessing their sin and need of you, believing in you, and receiving that free gift of eternal life and reconciliation with God. Holy Spirit, we give glory to you, who comes and dwells in us and works in us to bring forth your fruit. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, who accepts us as we are, but does not want us to stay as we are, but be transformed into the people you would have us be. Glory be to you for all eternity. So it is good, right, and wonderful to sing praise to you, our God. Through our faith in Jesus, we are put right with you, but not made right. That takes a lifetime as the Spirit works in us. So we continue to need your forgiveness. We thank you for your watchful care over us and for loving us unconditionally. For we know that we have not been as good as we should be. Sometimes we've been lazy or disobedient and wanted our own way. Sometimes we've been quarrelsome and lost our temper. We've been greedy and selfish, wanting all the best things for ourselves. So please hear us now as we bring our sins before you in the silence of this moment. Please forgive us and help us to please you more and more. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. O Lord of heaven and earth, bless the worship of your church in this place, that we may hear the living word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And hear us now, Lord, as we join together in saying these words of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 184, Sing to the Lord a Joyful Song. over the last few months, I have been in touch with the moderator of General Assembly through the moderator's office in 121 George Street. This is because she is going to be preaching at the service in Limekilns on the 26th. And now that we're much closer to that service, to celebrate the bicentenary of our friend's church down in Limekilns, I've been in direct contact with the Right Reverend Rosie Frew. Although I tend to know her simply as Rosie, because I was at college with her and was part of my kind of wider group of friends at New College. That friendship has become probably something that is on Christmas card level now, but when we meet, it's always a pleasure and we catch up on news and what is going on. With that personal connection, I've enjoyed following her posts on Facebook. And last week, I noted there was a post regarding this Sunday as a day to remember those who serve as street pastors in many towns and cities across the country. I think it was the very next day that Karen told me that street pastors are encouraged to wear their uniform to church this Sunday as a reminder to congregations of the important work of street pastors. And need I say, Karen is a street pastor, just in case you didn't know. So, the moderator of General Assembly of the Church of Scotland is asking us to remember street pastors, and that is backed up by the minister's wife. With such authority making this request, I have to be happy to ask Karen to tell us a bit more about street pastors here. So Karen's going to say a few things about street pastors. And I don't know if she noticed, but there was an empty table outside for you to put things on.
It is because I was running late, but thank you very much. And I also realised that the ladies who come to one of the Monday groups have already heard what I'm about to say, because I was asked to support the lady who runs Street Pastors to come along and give my tuppence worth. So Fife Street Pastors, been running for about 20, 30 years, and it was primarily people, volunteers, people over 18, Christians, who are prepared to go and walk the streets on Fridays and Saturdays. I think that's when it originally started. And it was like 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning. Thankfully, it's been changed now, and we go out on patrol Fridays and Saturday evenings in either Dunfermline, Kirkcaldy, or Cowdenbeath. We go out in twos and threes. We have our uniform on, pastors. We've got also warm coats and hats and whatever. We go out in twos and threes, and we are basically on the streets to serve in whatever way we can. It says, street pastors, there are many young people who feel excluded by society. Street pastors take practical help, hope, to the pavement for those individuals. So we walk up and down Dunfermline High Street, Cowdenbeath, whatever. And we are there really to help out whatever we can, whether it's to say a nice cheery hello to somebody, or if somebody looks distressed, or somebody looks as if they might be unwell, we are there to be a helping hand. We're there as Jesus walked the streets, we are walking the streets. You don't need any, well, you do need training. You get training. You don't have to have any particular skills. You just have to be somebody who has compassion. We go out in the streets and we meet all sorts of different people. Thankfully, I've never been involved where there's been fights or battles. It's always been very, what's the word, non-threatening. But there have been issues when we have had to involve the police. So the police work well with us. We work well with the police. The police respect us. The people on the whole, the street pastors are welcomed. People say, oh, here come the street pastors. Have you got your lollipops? Or sometimes we give out flip-flops to the young girls. We've got their high-heeled shoes on, and it's kind of late on, and they want something more comfortable. So practical help, helping if somebody's had a fall or feels unwell, we can do our best to bring about what they're needed, what there's necessary for them. Now, street pastors has now come up to the idea that we're not out till 4 o'clock in the morning. We are out sort of early evening, like 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. We go up and down the high street in various bus station and Tesco car park, places where there might be problematical issues arising. We, as you say, we work well with the police. We don't have any jurisdiction. We're just normal people. We don't have any special powers. We're just there as a friendly face to help out. What else can I say? They're now, it used to be street pastors and it used to be early in the morning, but now they realise, I think it's possibly because of COVID, and people feel the need, they want to talk to people more, they feel more connected. So we've got ventures like daytime patrols. So you can go out on a Saturday afternoon or a Thursday afternoon in Dunfermline. And again, there's always people who want to have a chat. There's people who appreciate a friendly face, somebody that wants directions, somebody, whatever. We'll be there. We're as God requires, God equips us for what's needed. They're also doing things like train pastors. So people like ourselves go on the trains. And again, we are there to be an extra pair of hands because things might happen on a train. Especially at night time if people are sitting in a cabin and they're feeling a bit nervous because there's nobody else or there's a bit of rowdiness going on. That sort of thing. That's the sort of thing we're pastoring. We're there to help people wherever. There's also talking about going into schools, school pastors. So basically the idea is spreading. It's like God's work. He's equipping us, frail as we are, with our little skills to go out and be in a place where people might want us. So I've probably not done a very good job. There's lots of information, but I daren't go on for too long. But I would well, if you're somebody that has a passion for people and you want to spread God's love and God's hope in the streets to anybody, it's a wonderful way of doing it because you've never know how many people and what sort of people you're going to come across. There is training given. As I say, you're well looked after and you go out. The first time I went out, I was told, don't say anything, just observe. If you know me, that's almost impossible. But there are training courses. It's not strenuous. It's not academic at all. It's open to all. A lot of people have been doing it for a long number of years. We could really do with people who are a bit more able to walk the streets. So any age over 18, you have to be over 18. You get a coffee break. When we come together, we'll pray together with people on the streets. We pray at the beginning of our patrol and we pray at the end because basically we're saying, God, we are here to be whatever you're needing us to be in the right place, to have the right conversations, to help other people to have a good and a good safe evening. So it's well worth it. I really would recommend it. If you've got any questions, I can pass you on to various things, and as I say, I have got leaflets which I will put on the table. So it's a very worthwhile, very great thing. You do like perhaps two duties a month, it's not onerous, and as I say, you're always with other people. So any questions, feel free to ask me. And also, just to raise the awareness that there are people like street pastors, so on a Friday and a Saturday night, perhaps you could remember those that are going out, just being a presence on the streets. Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen. And Karen will be, there's a table out near the old font, and Karen will be there if you want to ask any questions on the way out. And I'm sure I've said this to you before, but one occasion in Foresters, somebody did say to me, "You seem to be quite a cheery kind of guy. Do you ever laugh in church?" It struck me when I was asking Karen to do this and thinking about the rest of the service that, you know, to connect this into what we're going to be looking at as we go through the service, we are all street pastors. We may not have a shirt with street pastor on it, or the cap, or the jacket. We might not have the specific training that Karen and others have, but we live in streets, and we're asked to care for our neighbours. We're asked to pray for our streets and to pray for our parish. We are those who live out the gospel wherever we are. In a world and a society where there is so much alienation and so much prejudice, a world of fear and division, we are called to be like Jesus, who reached out to folk regardless of who they were. So before our Bible readings, I'd like to offer a prayer for those who are street pastors in terms of name. But I also want us to remember that we each live as street pastors, because we all live in a street somewhere. So let's ask God's blessing on the street pastor movement. Almighty God, we turn to you, knowing that you are in all our streets, that you walk with us, that you are there when we cannot be there, but when we are there, you use us, our actions, our words. Today, we are asked to remember and pray for street pastors in all that they do, in our streets, in our towns. Bless them and enable them to have the right words at the right moment, always knowing that whatever we do in your name bears fruit, fruit that we may never know about. So we ask your blessing on the street pastors of Fife and upon us as we go out in the streets in your name. Amen. And so to those readings. Elaine's going to read to us from the Book of Lamentations in the Old Testament and the very beginning of Paul's second letter to Timothy in the New Testament.
So our first reading is taken from Lamentations chapter 3, reading from verses 19 to 33, God's faithfulness. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. Our second reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we read from verse 1 to 14. Encouragement to be faithful. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Is there another verse? Oh, no. So it's just, oh, sorry, 14. Amen. And may God give us blessing for the reading of his word.
But it is always good to that you want to read more of the Bible, isn't it? Let's sing again. Hymn 469, Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. In 1867, the philosopher John Stuart Mill delivered an inaugural address at the University of St. Andrews, and in that address he stated, "Let not anyone pacify his conscience by the delusion that he can do no harm if he takes no part and forms no opinion. Bad men need nothing more to compass their needs than that good men should look on and do nothing. He is not a good man who, without a protest, allows wrong to be committed in his name, and with the means with which he helps to supply, because he will not trouble himself to use his mind on the subject. That statement might seem to go against the very short quotation I chose to go with the title of this talk or sermon, where Martin Luther says, "Pray and let God worry." Martin Luther was certainly not someone who saw wrong and did nothing. He saw what was clearly wrong in the church of his time and sought to address what was clearly not Christian in action or intent. Martin Luther spoke truth to authority in a time when church authority was very much caught up in political authority. Those powers who had chosen wrong did not take kindly to this challenge to their authority. "Pray and let God worry" cannot be a statement about inaction, because that was not what Martin Luther did or believed. It cannot be about silence, because he certainly did not keep quiet. Where we go to God with our prayers, we must always be aware that in praying to God, God may in turn ask us, in our words and actions, to be part of the answer to the prayer we have offered. Our Old Testament reading from Lamentations is in many ways a great statement of faith and trust in the midst of struggle and trial. As the name suggests, Lamentations is not the most cheerful of books of the Bible. Yet it has many declarations of faith. The lament is about the failure of God's people. The hope is in God's faithfulness. Whether we are reading the book called Lamentations or whether we are reading many of the Psalms of Lament, we find various writers presenting their longing for God to reform, forgive, and restore his people. These writers often recognize their own part in what is wrong and their need to be part of God's solution. There is an inherent belief that God will act to bring about salvation. "Pray and let God worry" is not a painless or easy process. It requires much from those who will pray and place their trust in God's mercy. When we turn to our New Testament reading, Paul's second letter to Timothy, this letter is very likely to have been written in the very last days of Paul's life. It is certainly traditionally associated with those or that period of time, however long it was, before Paul was executed, which means that these words are written from a prison cell in Rome not long before he died. Not just a difficult moment for Paul. History records this as a very difficult time for the city of Rome. The reign of Nero as emperor brought a level of instability such that it almost destroyed the Roman Empire. Paul's death occurred around the time that much of Rome was destroyed by fire. Historians now do not believe that Nero was responsible for this disaster, but he certainly found the Christian community of Rome to be a suitable scapegoat for the disaster that had befallen that city. In the early part of Paul's imprisonment, he had a degree of freedom. It was much like house arrest. By the time of this second letter, he's writing from a much more difficult and uncertain place. Paul talks to Timothy of his faith, his assurance that whatever happens to him, God is faithful and will use all that Paul has entrusted into God's hands. If we look at that moment in time, if we think of how it would have appeared to those living then, Nero, the ruler of the greatest empire that the world had known up to that time. Nero had all the power, wealth, and authority. Paul, a mere prisoner, belonging to a small religious sect somewhat related to Judaism, and most likely destined for execution in the next wee while. But if we think of what is remembered, what is remembered of Nero is an emperor whose excesses almost broke that empire. And the popular mythology, Nero is the one who fiddled as Rome burned. And if you were to ask someone, what do you know of Nero as Roman emperor? If they know anything, they might remember that he was the one who fiddled when Rome burnt. Although most historians are pretty sure that that is not true, it is a mere myth. But what about Paul, this prisoner in his cell? What do we remember about Paul? Well, he's left us with some of the truly great words by which we live as Christian people. Advice that has stood the test of time, not least that great passage on love from Corinthians. He's remembered as the fearless missionary and the great letter writer. And though he described himself as the least of all the apostles and never forgot that it was through Jesus that he became a true man of God, though he has all of that in his life, at that moment in time, for some people, it must have seemed that all was lost. When we reflect on the times that great men and women of faith lived, be it biblical times or any time since, there is a striking similarity to the world of our own time. There is a distinct sense that humanity does not change, and the challenges of today have appeared in the past. Are the tyrants of this time so different from the tyrants of the past? The temptations that come with power and wealth, very much the same as they have always been. And those who fall for such temptations then and today react in much the same way, using their wealth and power for themselves to hold on to power. But what about ordinary people? We would have to admit that our society of today also shares a great deal with the societies of history. Not least those elements that are so ready to embrace the idea that a particular minority are to blame for the ills that are suffered. Is there any great difference between the persecution of Christians in Rome under Nero and the belief that migrants and refugees are responsible for the wrongs that we fear in our society? Are people like Putin and Netanyahu so different from Nero? Are the people who wave flags and say that Britain has to be for the British so different from those who were ready to blame the Christian community for the fire that burnt down their city? And it was actually those kind of thoughts that made me think about flags. Look at the Union Jack. Or the flag of Scotland. Or the flag of England. We've certainly seen political parties reacting to the misuse of narrow nationalism and the flag, trying to turn it from something that is a symbol of rejection to a symbol of acceptance. But that flag is made up of crosses. And that to me stands as a reminder that whatever nationality we claim, whether we say we're English, Scottish, British, there is a kingdom that has a far greater and superior claim upon our allegiance. The flag should remind us not of our political leanings, but of the crosses that are there. Our allegiance to the kingdom of God. We go from here into streets, to villages, towns, cities, nation and the world, knowing that God longs to embrace. And what is the cross a symbol of? But that eternal embrace. A reminder here that God longs to embrace this world, longs to transform lives, that Jesus died for that transformation, and that the Holy Spirit is at work in all of our streets, cities, towns, world. And us, we are ambassadors of that kingdom, a kingdom where the primary rule is love. Love the Lord your God with all that you are, and love your neighbour as yourself. And as we go through the New Testament, every time we come across love, there is an increase in its scope. To love your enemy, to love others as much as God loves us. The challenge is for us to go out and to share the truth that the real kingdom, the eternal kingdom, is the kingdom of God. Amen. Hymn 159. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.
Thank you.
Alistair is leading us.
So let's once more come before God in prayer. Living God, we thank you for your undying love, ever at work for us and the whole world, made known in every age. Thank you for its triumphant victory in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and for its continuing presence with us to be proclaimed to the ends of the earth through your Holy Spirit. Gracious Father, we pray for our members of Parliament. Please bless them in every area of life, sitting in the House of Commons, undertaking other parliamentary roles with committees and groups, and serving their constituencies. Bless them in their personal and family relationships, in taking rest and recreation, and in experiencing spiritual wholeness and peace. Lord, our country appears more hostile and divisive as the speech, actions and attitudes of metropolitan police officers are exposed. We know those highlighted this week are in a minority, but we are not naive enough to think other police forces are immune. May those who are not fit to serve be rooted out, and may every officer remember that they are dependent on public trust. As we bring to you our concerns for our world, we pray about about Israel's and USA's peace plan for Gaza. We pray that Hamas would indeed lay down their weapons and release hostages, and that peace can be agreed, and that a Palestinian government be established. Lord, while we are horrified at the actions of the Israeli government in Gaza, we remember that not all Jewish people are in agreement with what they have done or are doing. We are saddened that hatred has manifested itself in the attack at the synagogue in Manchester. We pray for those grieving and those injured, asking for your comfort for them. So we pray that in Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank, all people would experience shalom, not just an absence of conflict, but real peace. Yet, Lord, we know that true shalom, health and healing, springs from believing and opening our lives to you by trusting in Jesus Christ, who died to save us from sin and death. May more people turn to you and experience this wonderful gift. Bring to you those who are searching for freedom, such as the many people in prison who, sadly, have never received love as children or as adults, or those with gambling problems. Father, we intercede for individuals and their families who are struggling with the consequences of a gambling addiction. May they find in you deliverance from their pain and desperation. Through your word, your spirit, and your church, may all who search for freedom discover your love for them, shown in Jesus Christ, and experience the joy of the love which you long to give them. Father God, we pray for your children across Africa. Many suffer persecution, poverty, and hunger. These challenges appear likely to increase as the population of Africa grows, with predictions from 1.2 billion today, the continent will be the home to 2.5 billion by 2050. And yet simultaneously, the church there is growing, and if this continues, nearly half of all Christians on earth will live in Africa. We thank you in the name of your Son that his kingdom is increasing, and for the hope that a people not yet born will praise the Lord. So Father, we bring to you now our own personal prayers of those people in situations needing your love at this time. Lord, may each one of us be able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. God, we bring to you our prayers, hear our prayers, and let you worry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Crown him with many crowns, hymn number 459. Blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.